morning, as we come to Psalm 46, we find a psalm that was a favorite of Martin Luther and others who were at the forefront of the Reformation. Martin Luther would often be heard exhorting those that he was with to sing the 46th psalm whenever they were facing opposition by the enemies of the gospel. In his time, Martin Luther stood at the precipice of a change, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the masses and standing on the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. This morning, you and I stand at the brink of a new year, and as we do so, we know not what the Lord has in store for us, his people. It always excites me about when I consider a new year. 2013 comes to a close. 2014 is at the brink of us entering into, and we have no idea what 2014 will bring. The reality is, for some of us this year, 2014 will bring about events that will alter our lives forever, as it has for others in years gone by. This year, our children will continue to grow and continue to mature. They're going to move one step closer to that day of independence in which they're going to move out on their own and take the responsibility for their own lives. No one knows what tomorrow will bring, but this we do know: our God is in control. Within this psalm, we find some wonderful verses for all of us as we face days with uncertainty. Paul challenged the believers at the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, or to be anxious for nothing. And I'll remind you of that exhortation. What Paul is literally saying is this: do not be anxious, do not be filled with anxiety, don't be filled with care for anything, know not one thing. Yet in our human nature, we struggle with anxiety, we struggle with worry, for we don't like things that are uncertain in our lives. We want to know with certainty what the future holds. But that's the wonderful blessing of living and walking by faith and not by sight. God has called us to a wonderful opportunity to follow Him in the days ahead, to walk by faith. We don't have to understand, we don't have to know for certainty what is to come. We know our God is in control. We show our tendency towards anxiety in a few different ways. We tend to talk about things, or we tend to think them through to try to come up with a solution to all of our problems. We put all of our energy and effort into removing any type of anxiety from our lives. But Psalm 46 provides for us a better remedy. And I want us to see that together this morning. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read the psalm in its entirety, and then we'll bow together in a word of prayer. Psalm 46, 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make the glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we thank you this morning that as we come and gather together around your word, that your word will instruct us and teach us and how to respond to exciting yet uncertain times. Lord, we know not what the future holds. We know not what this year brings before us. We can look back over this last year and we can see your goodness in all things. But Father, the reality is, as we sat in this same place last year, we had no idea what would take place in 2013. We can look back and we can see your hand in all of it. But Father, now we come again to the brink of a new year. Lord, new opportunities before us. This can be times of great uncertainty. But Lord, I trust that we would see them as time of great blessing. So Lord, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would help us now as we come and as we look into your word. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the year to come, you and I will be faced, no doubt, with situations that are going to cause us to feel uncomfortable. We may be asked this year of the Lord to have our faith stretched to the point that we feel it's unbearable. It's more than we can handle. It's just too hard. We may be drawn to the point where our reasoning and our understanding cannot rationalize or justify what the Lord is asking of us. The question for us is simply this: how will I respond to those things which cause me to feel uneasy? How will I respond to those days in which I am caused to be uncomfortable? Will we talk to others and share with them our anxieties? Will we have to talk out all of our woes and our problems? Or will I simply do as the scripture says, cast all my care upon him, for he careth for us? He knows our anxieties. He knows our struggles. He understands what's coming this year already for you. And he has promised to be with you. He has promised to support you. He has promised, as Psalm 32 verse 8 says, to guide you with his own eye. How will you respond to the anxiety or uncomfortable days? Will we think about things so much and allow our thoughts to become centered on that which is negative and critical? Will we follow the exhortation found in the scripture, which is simply this: think on that which is true and honest and just and pure, lovely and of a good report? Sometimes when we become uncomfortable, we allow our imaginations to run away from us instead of thinking upon that which is right and true. David knew something of the situations that would lead to anxiety. He had faced them throughout his life. As a young child, as a young boy, as a lad, he was given the responsibility to keep his father's sheep. And in so, he was confronted by a bear and a lion. That's an uncomfortable situation, to say the least. As David continued to grow, he, as a young man, would stand before Saul, asked to play his harp in order to ease the spirit of the king, who was finding himself now uneasy, simply because he had walked away from the instruction of God and his word. And in all of those things, Saul began to hate David. So much so that David would have to flee and find his refuge in the caves as he was hunted as a wild animal. As king, he would have to endure the revolt of his own son and then mourn as that rebel son was killed in that revolt. Yet throughout David's life, he had learned the truth: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You and I this morning can come to the Word of God, and when we're faced with anxiety, we can learn how to handle that. Here in Psalm 46, I want to really focus just our thoughts
on verse 10. Because verse 10 clearly shows us how we should handle times of uncertainty, days in which we can feel uncomfortable and uneasy. Yes, we can seek out others and we can talk it out. We can allow our minds to run away with every thought and imagination. But there is a better way. And verse 10 simply gives us that way. Be still and know that I am God. This morning I want to focus our thoughts on that phrase. To be still and know that I am God. I want you to begin with me this morning and see, first of all, the scriptural exhortation to be still. In the midst of our days of anxiety, when we do not know what to do, when our hearts are filled with care, when we feel as though everything is going to fall down around us, when everything seems to be getting worse instead of better, here's God's exhortation to you and to me. Be still and know that I am God. God tells you and I, in the midst of days filled with uncertainty, in midst of days where there is hardship or we just don't know what lies before us and we cannot comprehend what is about to take place, we are told to be still. That's the exhortation. What does it mean to be still? That word still is the Hebrew word rapha. That Hebrew word rapha is translated in other verses this way: let go. To be still means that you and I are to let go of those thoughts that lead us to anxiety. We are to let go of the cares and let go of those situations which are causing us now to be anxious, which cause us to feel uneasy and uncomfortable. We are now to be still, to let those go. Instead of hurrying about and trying to solve all of our anxieties and all of our cares, God tells you and He tells me to be still, to be silent before Him. Now, folks, that goes against the natural man, does it not? That goes against everything within inside you and me as the natural man. When things are hard, when we are perplexed, when we are uncertain, when we're uncomfortable, we want to solve that immediately. But God doesn't tell us to do that. God says, be still. Take your hands off, let it go, and wait patiently on the Lord. We are to let go, to be still. We understand the meaning, now understand the message, if you would, with me. God never intended that you and I would be weighed down with anxiety, worry, or care. He has told us how to get rid of anxiety, worries, and care all along. And He has always told us to let them go. Cast all of your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, so that He can supply the peace of God that passes all understanding. God never intended for you or I to be weighed down, to be burdened by uncertainty and anxiety. He's also provided for us another way for us to avoid those. It's called faith. Now again, it goes against our natural man. It goes against the flesh. for us to let things go, to give it over to God. But then again, the Bible makes it very clear that we're not supposed to walk according to the natural man. We're not supposed to walk according to our reason and our thinking. We're not to walk by the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. And as you and I face days of uncertainty, it is not that God wants to weigh us down. He wants to lighten the load and allow us to enjoy the wonderful blessing of walking and living by faith. So another passage I want you to look at with me this morning. It helps us to understand this a little further. Go over a few pages to Psalm 37. Just back a few pages. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is the psalm of David's old age. He is sitting now and reflecting upon all that the Lord has done and all that he understands of his God. In verse 1 he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Verse 3 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll dwell in the land and thou shalt be fed. Verse 4 tells us to delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give us the desires that should be upon our heart. Verse 5 says, "Commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in Him, and He'll bring everything to pass." Look at verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man which bringeth wicked devices to pass." David here says to rest in the Lord, to wait patiently for Him. The word rest is a word of opposite to the word fret. Instead of fretting, we are to rest in the Lord. The word fret there is a word that speaks of heightened emotions. It means to blaze up or to burn with anger or to be jealous. It is one whose emotions are heightened, who are stirred up. We fret, filled with activity and anxiety. The opposite of that is to rest. And folks, the word there simply means to sit and be quiet. Quiet's a good thing. We live in a day and age that does not enjoy quiet. We seem to love our noise. Every parent that has, especially young ones during this Christmas season, and having enjoyed some vacation, understands the value of a little quiet. There's a lot of heightened emotions, there's a lot of excitement, there's a lot of yelling and screaming and a lot of laughter and a lot of fun. But towards the end of a night, it's nice to have a little peace and quiet where everything gets shut off and everything just stops. Ah, you know that feeling? Grandparents know that feeling when they send the grandkids home. Ah, and they enjoy sugaring them up and getting them more excited, so we have more time to kind of calm them down. But it's that ah moment, quiet, rest. Folks, that's the concept that God is giving to us here. He tells us to take the time when we want to be filled with anxiety, fretting, filled with activity, he says, sit and be quiet. Rest in the Lord. Be still and know that He is God. We are to wait patiently upon Him. A couple other words there that we don't necessarily like as part of our vocabulary. Wait. We like things in an instant. We don't want to wait. We become uneasy when we are forced to wait. But God says it is good for us at times to wait upon Him. We especially don't like the idea of patience. We don't want to have to endure longer periods of waiting. But again, God says it is good for us. In the days of our anxiety, we are to be still. We are to sit quietly before the Lord and wait upon Him. By the way, the quiet needs to be on your part. Not clamoring about. We have brought our burdens and our petitions before the Lord. We need to wait patiently, quietly before Him. We can do that through prayer, where we acknowledge that He is the one who is in control. We can give to Him our burdens and our requests. I think Weston said it well in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes when we pray, we don't just pray and ask God to help. We offer to God our solutions. He doesn't need your solution. He doesn't need your help. He's a whole lot better at it than you and I are. So don't offer those to the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Be still before the Lord. Allow the Lord to minister to your heart through His Word and by His Spirit. All of us need to trust that He has all things under His sovereign control and need to give Him all of our heart. There's a scriptural exhortation to be still. Let me take a few moments and give you the scriptural explanation for being still. Why should we be still? Why would the scripture instruct me in days of uncertainty, in days that would cause me to be anxious, to be still and to wait? Again, it flies in the face of all of our human reasoning and understanding. In your ways and my ways, we would understand that the best way to fight uncertainty is to make things certain. The best way to handle our anxiety is find the reason for our anxiety, to rid ourselves of those things that cause me to be anxious and therefore bring about peace within my life. So why ought we to be still? Well, David gives us the reason. He has said that we are to be still because we know that He is God. Be still and know that I am God. I am to be still. I am to be silent. I am to wait patiently for Him because He is God. And folks, that word God there reminds me of a few things. It reminds me He is the Creator. It reminds me He is the Omnipotent One. He is the one who made heaven and earth by His spoken word. He is the one who gives me life and gives me breath. He is the one that designed all things. He is the one who one day will rule and reign all things. He is the one that will bring peace upon the earth. He is God. And I need to sit and acknowledge the fact that He is God. Not to be overrun with anxiety, not to be overrun with care, not to run about trying to figure everything out, not to try to make sure that I can make everything which is uncertain, certain. Everything that makes me uncomfortable to be comfortable. But I am to wait upon the Lord. Be still. Now folks, I don't know what 2014 holds for you. I don't know what it holds for me. I don't know what life-altering event might come into our lives. But if it does, understand, God is still God. And that never changes. just because things are difficult, or just because things are uncertain, just because they are uncomfortable, does not change the fact that He is God. So David says, be still and know that I am God. Folks, that's the reason, understand the reasonableness of such a statement. Go back with me, if you would, again. Psalm 46, look at verse 1. David understood that God is God. Notice what he says about his God. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. He is our hiding place. He is our strength. He is the one who supports us, who helps us, who ministers to us. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Even though the youth will faint, God never faints. He's our strength. He's our refuge, a very present help. Folks, the idea of that phrase is very simply this: He is ever near when we have a need. The Lord Jesus Christ promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I remind you again the way that's written? It is literally written with a double and a triple negative. And in the Greek, that is for emphasis, no negations. So basically it reads this way: I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. That's his promise. A very present help in time of need. Why do you need to be afraid if the Lord is that near? Charles Spurgeon said of God that He is a fortress firm and steadfast rock. Is God in the time of danger a shield and sword in every shock, from foe well known or stranger? He is our strength. He is our help. A very present help in time of need. David gave some examples why one might be filled with anxiety. Notice what he says. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I think those are some pretty good reasons to be anxious. If the earth was moved, or that which is the basis of all visible things, when that which is the basis of all is changed, you and I still don't need to fear, because He is God, a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The mountains being cast into sea. Folks, what else symbolizes to you firmness or steadfastness? You don't think of a mountain being moved. It's there, it's planted, you can kind of count on it, you can kind of gauge yourself by it. If you're out hiking and you know the highest point, you can say, there it is, I know it's there. I always say to my wife, I don't think you can get lost in St. John's if you know where a few things are. There's some high points, and if you know where they are, you somewhat know where you are in relationship to them. Signal Hill kind of sticks out. You kind of know which way you're going depending on what side of the car it's on. It's not going anywhere. At least we don't think. God says, who can move a mountain? But when the mountains crumble and fall away, there's still no reason for you and I to be afraid. There's still no reason for you and I to be filled with anxiety and care, because He is still God. And we can trust
in Him.
We're given another very instructive lesson at the end of verse 3. It may not be as obvious. Look at what it says at the end of verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. See the last word? When I read this to you, I didn't read the word. It's not intended to be read. It's the word Selah. The word Selah is a word used in poetry or music that causes the reader or the musician to pause. It's a rest note, so to speak. And by the way, this psalm was written for the musicians. It is a time for them to stop. I am not a musician, but I still remember growing up in Mrs. D'Arcangelo's music class in my school. And I still remember her year after year after year after year making me do things I did not want to do, which was learn things about notes, whether they're colored in or open or this. I didn't really care, but she taught me anyway. I don't understand music and I don't read it, but I know some things. There are certain symbols put there which mean stop singing. And for the musician, pause. I think that's fair enough to say. That's what this Selah is. David is sharing some wonderful truth about our God, and he puts the word Selah, which means stop. I want you to pause. It's a cause for you and I, when we come to the Psalms, to stop and to meditate upon what we have just seen. David just mentions those things which cause us to be anxious. But then he says, stop. Sit. Think on those for a moment. He then goes through, and he goes through yet a whole nother section. And the end of verse 7, he says, Selah. Wants us to think again. And he builds that all till we come to verse 10, where he says, now be still and know that I am God. There are things that can cause you and I to be anxious. The days before us are uncertain days. We don't know what the future holds. That can be an exciting thing. It can be a troubling thing. Folks, just around the corner may be some hardships we were never expecting as a family or never expecting as a church. We know not. God does. It's already planned. He has it all prepared for you and for me. But he says, as you face such a time, be reminded that I am God. Therefore, be still. Rest and wait patiently for me. Let me ask you this morning, what's causing you to be anxious? What's causing your mind to be filled with care? Sometimes it's health issues of our family. I mentioned this morning my sister diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and the reality is there are some new spots that have developed. I don't know what the future holds for her. The doctors think they'll be able to take care of all of that, but we don't know. Bev George just had a slight heart attack and had a stent put in. The Georges weren't expecting that this Christmas. None of us expect those kinds of things. Difficult days come. Change comes. We don't know that they're coming, but change comes. How do you handle those? What do we do? How do we walk through those in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, in a way that honors Him who is worthy of our worship? David said, be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. And I'll say it because it's there. Selah, think on those things for a few moments. Let's pray together as we close.